Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8 of the Level 9 podcast. Obviously, I'm here with my co-host Jesse.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Super Bowl Sunday week, I guess.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait for that matchup.
Who do you got?
I mean, honestly, every day it changes from Tom Brady getting his 7th ring and kind of going off in a blaze of glory to the young buck Mahomes and winning his second Super Bowl and sending Tom Brady probably to come back for another season. We all know that he's probably not going to retire until he's about 51, 52. But I mean, at this specific time, I'll pick the Bucks. What about you?
Oh, I love it. I mean, obviously I'm a Bucks fan, so my bias is saying the Bucks, but I'm not going to count out Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs. I mean, it helps that Eric Fisher's not playing.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be – there's a lot of great matchups to look at, like defense and offense. I'm just – both offenses are just stacked. You're like, I hope it's a high-scoring game, but you never know with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So, but anyways, it's a gaming podcast, so let's move on to the gaming news. we finally got a release date for Mass Effect Legendary Edition. If you listen to our last episode, that's one thing I wanted to see in 2021.
Yeah, May 14th this year, which I'm pretty excited about. I didn't think it would come out until maybe the later end of 2021, but it's pretty it's coming up. How are you feeling about that?
Well, let's just say I've already booked off the four days of work for it. So
I think you'll need a lot more than 4 days to complete this with all of what it includes.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I can only book off so many days right now. So if I get more holiday hours from now until then, they'll be getting put onto that. I'm going to take the whole week off. Who knows?
I mean, you might have to. I mean, there's 3 full games plus over 40 DLC, which is just mind-boggling that we're going to get all at once at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. Like, yeah, I just recorded a YouTube video today, actually, with my favorite gaming franchises. And Mass Effect's number one, spoiler. Please watch my video before listening to this episode.
But, oh, really? Number one?
Yeah, number one video game franchise of all time. So I'm super excited for this. Like, I refuse to touch Mass Effect until this Legendary Edition comes out, so I've been wanting to go back for so long, but with the 40 extra DLC, that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's coming out for PC, Xbox One, PS4, and then obviously it'll be compatible with the Series X and PS5. I'll be on the PS5. You'll probably be on the Series X.
Yes, sir.
What sort of updates and kind of upgrades are you looking to see with the Legendary Edition?
I'm curious to see how they bring Mass Effect 1 over to more like industry standards now, because Mass Effect 1, I think, was 2007. So it's the jump from Mass Effect 1 to 2 was completely different in like gameplay and shooting wise and combat and all that stuff. So even driving like the Mako, it was a little clunky. So I'm curious. They said they did a whole revamp of it and brought it more to like Mass Effect 2 standards. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that plays.
Yeah, I spent some time looking at the screenshots that BioWare have been producing through social media, and even the originals, they still hold up. But the remastered screenshots and videos that they've been kind of teasing look really good. I'm definitely excited to see how it turns out with all three.
Yeah, just looking at the screenshots, you know, it's going to be even a better experience. I mean, I'm talking from someone who's played the trilogy at least 3 or 4 times, where you're coming from someone who has never played the trilogy. So I'm very curious to see how you like what your thoughts are when we end up playing through it.
Yeah, I've only played Mass Effect Andromeda. I know that's like kind of its own little thing, more of a spin-off to the series. I've never played 1 through 3. I kind of wanted to try 3 when it first came out, just because of all the hype surrounding it. But I felt like I kind of had to play 1 and 2, but it was kind of too late to try and jump into that by that time. So I'm definitely excited to have a reason to start this series and just get lost in the countless hours I'm sure it has to offer.
Yeah, that's more than enough hours to keep you busy. You just gotta, it starts off pretty slow, number one, but it gets intense pretty quick. So you'll fall in love with all the characters. I'm really looking forward to see how, obviously after we're done all playing, we'll have to talk about it and say who our favorite characters are and rank the missions and stuff like that. But I'm super, super excited to see how you react to this.
Yeah, I know they mentioned bringing it to the Switch as well, but they wanted to wait until the Switch was a bit more powerful, or maybe even the next-gen Switch, just to really showcase the new visuals and just the amount of work that they've put into the Legendary Edition.
Yeah, I mean, I would be all for bringing it for the Switch. The more people that can play it, the better. But as of right now, the Switch probably would not make it look good at all. So I'm waiting for a good idea. But like just having the ability to make it portable is huge. Obviously, with Xbox, you can play pretty much anywhere. So that's gonna be a huge thing too. I'll be definitely be playing it on my tablet or something with my controller when I'm not home.
Yeah, it's definitely been long awaited. I read that the BioWare had previously discussed remastering it back in 2014 and didn't actually begin doing that until late 2019. So I'm interested to see what kind of work they've been putting in this last year and a half now, or close to a year and a half.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be huge for the next Mass Effect. Obviously, it's going to introduce a whole new people, like a whole different genre of people, and a whole new audience to the Mass Effect world, like you, who has never really played a Mass Effect game besides Andromeda, which, give or take, like everybody else has their opinions on it. But and obviously with the trailer from the new Mass Effect, it kind of ties into you wouldn't know, but there's some characters that were in that trailer that are relevant throughout the whole trilogy. So it would be that's why it got me fired up personally. I'm like, oh man, they're returning. I'm just excited.
Yeah. Watching through the Game Awards and seeing that Mass Effect reveal trailer, even though it was maybe 30 seconds long, I had no idea what was happening or who anybody was, but it definitely got me excited to start the trilogy. So I'm excited that's coming out this year. And then I'm hoping that the newer one comes out maybe the end of this year or sometime in 2022.
Yeah, a part of me really I don't think it'd be 2020. I think it'd be more like 2023. But part of me really hopes that they're kind of releasing this now, and then for next year they'll have oh hey, you guys already played the trilogy version. Here's the new one. But I mean, I doubt it. But who knows?
Well, we will certainly have enough time to play through the three games plus all of the DLC. I can't get over how much content that is in one package.
And it's funny because one of the DLCs from the first Mass Effect game will not be in it. It's like the only DLC that's not in it because they lost the source code for it because it's so old. They were not able to put in the game without building it from the ground up.
Oh my, what is the DLC kind of come with? Like, I'm sure it's a lot of weapons and...
It's called Pinnacle Station. So it's the Pinnacle Station DLC, which is a Mass Effect 1 DLC. And I've never actually played it because I started with Mass Effect 2 and then I went to Mass Effect... And then I went to Mass Effect 1 after that. And I barely ever played it. I think I played the DLC with Mass Effect 2, but that's about it. From what I'm seeing, the Pinnacle Station is just, it looks like it's extremely forgettable. So it's not that big of a deal. I think it's 13 new combat quests and it's just a training area. So it's not like the end of the world type thing. If they're not putting it in there, which is why I don't think they want to rebuild it from the ground up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the list of DLC here and it's just Bring Down the Sky, Genesis, Mass Effect 3, Extended Cut, and alternate appearances.
Yeah, so the biggest hate from Mass Effect 3 was the ending, right? Because it branched out into three different endings. But now with the extended cut, there's a canon ending, which it fixed a lot of problems that 3 had. A lot of people hated the way 3 ended, but the extended cut made it so much better. So that's good that they're adding that in there.
Does the trilogy sort of follow one another? Like, is it the one leads into 2, 2 leads into 3, and then 3?
Yeah, they all follow the same story. Like, the story starts in 1, and then it kind of builds up all the way to 3, and you're the same character with the same mission all the way until the end of 3 type thing.
Oh, well, I'm a big Star Wars fan, so that sounds quite appealing to me. I feel like there's not many games like that anymore. It's more of like a single kind of experience, and then the sequel is kind of its own version.
Yeah, and that's what I'm super excited for, because obviously, in some DLC included different party members, right? I wasn't able to experience all the party members because when I had Mass Effect 2, I couldn't afford all the DLC. So I think there's 3 or 4 party members that you could get through DLC. But the fact that they're already going to be included in the game without downloading any extra patches or anything like that, it's going to be a whole new playthrough.
Yeah, I've been having trouble finding something to kind of get lost into, and I'm thinking that this might be the next thing that I kind of wave goodbye to my friends and family over, and I just get buried in this Mass Effect storyline for the next several months in when it releases in May.
Yeah, the thing that I like most about Mass Effect, like I said, 1, 2, and 3 all so you start off with 1 and it all ends in 3. So throughout the whole trilogy, all the choices you're making all come to the end at 3. So throughout the whole series, it's the choices you make in 1 will affect how 3 is ended type thing.
Yeah, that was my next question was how much does your decision making throughout the game impact, say, like the Mass Effect 2 and then Mass Effect 3? So that's definitely intriguing as well.
Yeah, there's a lot. I will tell you about one mission at the end. If you do, you want to hear how like I'm not gonna like go into details, but there's a mission in two. It's the end of two, and essentially, it's a suicide mission. So you can lose party members, and they actually die, and you don't see them again in a third. So it all depends on how you approach it, who you send to do what. Like if you send somebody to do something that they're not skilled at, they will die and you will never see them ever again.
Oh, that's terrifying. I love the Telltale series. I know they're kind of their own, not really comparable to Mass Effect, but I'm a big fan of the Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, all that, just because you can lose characters so easily and then they're just gone from the story and it just completely changes the entire outlook of the series. So that also has me quite intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I restarted that mission because some of the characters that I wanted to keep kept dying, and I was like, I can't figure out how to keep them alive. So, there's certain missions you got to do in the game to like boost their loyalty. There's like certain weapons and equipment you need to get. If you don't get the equipment, then they will die no matter what you do, and it's super stressful. But it's also really cool because it just like you don't know if it's gonna be the last time you see them or not. So it's like every interaction kind of counts.
Now with these types of games, I try to always be the hero that everybody's kind of running into, like Red Dead. Red Dead 2, I try to get my honor meter all the way to good throughout the entire game. Do you think that's a good way to play through the Mass Effect series, or will I lose a lot of characters trying to be the goodest of good?
Honestly, that's why I'm a big fan. I'm the same way. I try to be good in everything, but the thing with Mass Effect is you got to be a bit of both. You got to know when to be a complete completely evil, and you gotta know when to be completely good, because there are some characters where you're in the Normandy, which is like the headquarters ship, and they both end up fighting because you're kind of in the middle, and then you end up choosing one, like who do you want to keep, and then the other one leaves and the other one stays. But like if you're all good, then that one stays. If you're all bad, then the other one stays. You know what I mean? So it's like you gotta kind of figure out a balance and can kind of get in between. There are some parts where you want to be evil, or like make it's not evil, it's like a renegade, so it's like going against like command protocol and stuff. That's how they make it happen. But there are some missions where you probably should, and there's some missions where you should be good. Some characters want you to be evil, some characters want you to be good, so it all depends on how you want to play.
Yeah, like I said, I in Red Dead Redemption 2, I was trying to just protect everybody, save everybody, help everybody I could. And then my girlfriend, once I had finished the playthrough, she took over and she was the complete opposite, just shooting everybody, beating everybody up, robbing every store she could find, and it just drastically changed the storyline. So I love games like that where just based on your actions it changes everything around you.
Yeah, like sometimes like you'll run into a recruitable character, and sometimes they might not even join you depending if you're too evil for them or if you're too good for them. They'll be like, oh no, sorry, and then you'll be forced to fight them, or they'll walk away or something like that. So like you like there are recruitable characters, but they're all like they don't get force recruited. Like you could, I think there's in Mass Effect 2, I think there's like 8 or 9 recruitable characters, and you could literally finish the game with only 3 type thing. Like you don't have to recruit any of them. Like they like if you don't meet the mission requirement, you don't recruit them. So
how long do you think it'll take the average person like myself to play through 1 through 3 without the DLC?
Without the DLC, it depends. Are you the type of person that goes through like each side quest and trying to like get invested into the lore and stuff, or are you someone that just runs through the game?
Oh, no, absolutely. I look in every corner and every nook of the ship or the house or whatever. I'm running into a building, I'm looking into every drawer and trying to find everything, talking to everybody, doing everything that I possibly can.
Honestly, I think you'll have at least 100, 120 hours and like for each of them type thing.
Oh, that's quite exciting. I think I'm going to have to pre-order this right after this episode.
Just because like there's so many alien races. And if like each alien race gets its own like little lore story behind it and how they became to where they are, and like and then like you, then you discover what planet they're from, then you get lore on their planet and you figure out like there's this alien race called the Batarians, who by the end of 3, I don't want to spoil it, but essentially in 1 they're like a super powerful alien race that kind of get displaced because of years of civil war. But then, like in number 2, you learn more about them, based on their lore. Like, you don't need to. It's just like a codex, or by talking to people. It just pops up and explains how the Civil War started, where they all happened. And like some alien races are actually extinct. Like, you'll see like in the codex, you'll see an alien race and you're like, what the heck are these guys? I've never heard of these guys. And then you click on them and they go into more detail. And it's just an ever ending loop.
Oh yeah. I didn't think I would be this excited just because I've never experienced the series. I've just kind of heard about it, but I mean, just reading what I have for the past few days, plus this conversation, I think I'm getting a little bit hooked. I might have to pre-order this.
Yeah, I actually think it's right up your alley. Like, you're the type of guy, you love RPGs. And like, if you love the Witcher lore, you'll love the Mass Effect lore. Like, obviously, they're two very different spectrums, where Witcher's more like fantasy and stuff, and Mass Effect, it's more sci-fi, but like, it's just the world they create, right? Mass Effect, when I first played Mass Effect, it kind of like sucked me in so much that I'm like, maybe aliens are real. Like, maybe we just don't know. And it's just cool to see how BioWare and them came up with like the backstory for each alien race. For every single planet that you visit, there's a backstory of why the planet's there, why no one's living on it, or why people are living on it, or something like that. And it's just like every single place you go has some sort of reason, some sort of backstory.
Well, in my opinion, aliens are absolutely 100% real. So that also has me a bit excited. But I've been kind of looking for that next open world role-playing game that I can kind of just dive into. I've restarted Ghost of Tsushima about 3 or 4 times. I just can't get into it, and I don't really have much else to play. I've just recently finished Days Gone and Shadow of War, and so I'm just kind of sitting idle waiting for this next open world experience, and I'm thinking this might be the one.
Yeah, I would say definitely at least give it a shot. At least like you have to at least do one full playthrough. Like I don't care if you don't like it or not. Just try, like, since you haven't played it before, just at least get to the end of 3.
Isn't Seth Green in it as well as a voice actor?
He is. He's one of the main characters. Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic! I'm excited to hear.
Yeah, you'll love his character. His character's actually named Joker, and it's freaking hilarious.
I know Shepard is the main character. What's your favorite character from the whole series?
My favorite character is Garrus. I don't really want to go too much into him, but he's a badass.
Is he an alien type fellow?
Yes, he is an alien. If you want to look him up, he's a Turian race. So Turian.
Okay. Oh, is he this monster looking thing? And he's got like
a and there's this one cool point in Mass Effect 2 that made me like him even more. I'm not going to tell you because it will ruin the moment. But oh my goodness, it's wicked. Yeah, if you type Turian, he's the guy in the blue armor.
Oh yeah, that's the first one I looked at right there.
Yeah, he's the guy in the blue armor. That's Garrus. And then I'm also a big fan of Morden, who's a Solarian. They're like a little like lizard type species who like the Solarians are like super smart engineers, and they're like lizards, and they're all like tech guys. It's pretty cool.
Now, I think the most important question of this entire episode is, how many aliens can I sleep with?
That's a very, very important question. essentially, like, there are like many, like, there are like side quests where you can sleep with someone without any consequences, but it's kind of like real life, where like you develop a relationship with a certain character and then you like get into a relationship with them, and if another squad mate finds out, you will lose points and they will hate you and they could possibly leave.
Yeah, that's kind of bit me in the ass in The Witcher 3. I was just pretty much the biggest Witcher whore in the entire area, and it kind of Yennefer and Triss ended up screwing me over nearing the end of that for my action. So I'm going to try and play it a bit less like that and a bit more civil going forward with Mass Effect.
Yeah, it's tough because all the characters are really likable and very relatable, and you're like, damn, like you can feel sexual tension every time you talk to them. But but yeah, it's a really good game. I'm curious to see who your favorite character is going to be, but Garrus is definitely mine. I'm not going to go too much more into it, but there's really no characters I really hate. There are some characters I don't think really need to be in the game, but I don't hate any character, to be honest.
Is it sort of like Dragon Age where you can swap between
Yes.
different characters? Okay.
Yeah, like I think you can have two squad mates with you at all times, so you can rotate between them every mission.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't really enjoy about Dragon Age. It could just be me. It was just two. I think there was three players you could have mm-hmm. with you, and it was just kind of a bit overwhelming for me anyway. I just kind of like to have a single or maybe just one or two other partners that I can kind of mess around with and explore each just character.
Yeah, so like skills. So like the difference with Dragon Age is that you can control each one of those characters, whereas in Mass Effect you can't. Like you're controlling Shepard, and the two other guys are like you can upgrade them in any way you want. So like you can upgrade Garrus to be like a sniper from afar, or et cetera, et cetera. But you can't control them. They kind of just do their own thing.
Yeah, I definitely like that better than having just to worry about and control every other character. I kind of like to just stay in my lane as the main character and do my thing while they kind of just aid me in the back.
Yeah, Dragon Age is more of a tactical one where like you can pause the game and tell your guys to go here, where Mass Effect, like you can, but they don't, it's not really the proper way to play. Like, yeah, so.
Okay, that's exciting then. I'm definitely excited to kind of dive into this for the very first time. I'm sure you've already dived into all of them three or four times now.
I've been wanting to go back, and I'm just like, I can't. I gotta wait for this Legendary Edition to come out. But then I'm like, May is so far. Like, I can probably finish all three playthroughs before May comes. But then I'm like, but I gotta wait. Like, I wish they would have shadow dropped it. So like, it's available today.
You got less than 4 months to go now. So.
Oh man, there's. Are you someone that likes making like are you someone that gets stressed when you have to make like a big decision in the game, or are you someone that like enjoys that?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, if I'm confident in my answer, I'm fine with it. But if I'm kind of split 50-50 down the middle, I know my answer is going to affect one of these characters, then that's kind of when I just kind of panic hit. Okay. Either left or right.
Yeah. So. Without spoiling the game entirely, there is this one mission in Mass Effect 1 that sets it up all the way to number 3, where you have to choose between two squad mates which one dies and which one lives.
Oh, gosh.
And whatever one lives, it's all through the trilogy. Whatever one dies, you'll never see ever again. So.
Oh, gosh. You put a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah. I remember that one used to haunt me all the time, but I've decided who I always choose, so... I might do the opposite. I don't know. I'm gonna play through like it's my first time playing through it again, and I'll see if I still feel the same way. But
yeah, maybe you should just play through and every answer you're used to giving, just hit the complete opposite and see.
I don't know if I can though, because like I might be able to do it that way, but then I'm like, I don't know if I can do it, like make any bad decisions, because I can't play this game being a bad person.
I'm sure I'll be running to my phone to text you once I get to those certain points and I tell you who I just killed off and who I've moved on with. And I'm sure you will not agree with many of them, but it'll be interesting to kind of compare two stories too.
Yeah, the podcast might fall apart if you choose the wrong choice.
Maybe we can have an episode per edition. So like 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I'd be down. If you want to, like, after you're done number one, we can have a podcast and discuss how our feelings were with number one. We can kind of go over, like, call it like a spoiler thing and kind of just go over it.
Absolutely. Do you have any more questions or thoughts or concerns about the trilogy that you've seen so far?
The only concern that I have, it's not really a concern, I'm kind of bummed about it, but I understand it, is that there's no multiplayer. Mass Effect 3 did have a multiplayer, but they brought up a good point, which made a lot of sense. If they're going to bring a multiplayer game over, they got to like rebuild it from the ground up to make it cross compatible. Then they got to figure out how to bring everybody's stats from Mass Effect 3 over to the Legendary Edition, since they're two different games, right? So it's like, because people still play the Mass Effect 3 online a lot. It's a pretty big community. So the fact that they didn't really touch on that is going to disappoint a lot of people. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I would, it's not like, oh, I'm never getting this game because they didn't put multiplayer in, but I do want to see what they could do with a new refreshed multiplayer, but I'm fine with it.
Those servers are still active for Mass Effect 3?
Oh yeah, man. There's still quite a bit of people that play. Like if you go on Twitch and look at Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, there's quite a bit of people that still play it.
What is the multiplayer like? Is it sort of like Gears of War?
Yeah, but it's more like team based. So like you and I would be like it'd be you, me, and two other people defending against like enemies that you see in the game. So it's like hordes and waves. So like you just defend them and like have a certain mission. So it's like get to this point or kill this many banshees or things like that. And like it's like a squad thing. It just keeps getting harder and harder and harder. So it's like Call of Duty Zombies, but Mass Effect style.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now I'm a little bummed that I've never even played it. Maybe they'll bring out multiplayer down the line, maybe late 2021 or maybe sometime next year.
Yeah, and like the difference is like it's just it's cool because it's like some of the abilities you can have in Mass Effect, like you're not just a space shooter. Like there's something that's like you're not just a guy with a gun. Like there's a class where it's called like a biotic. There you go. Okay, so you're a biotic, which is like, it's like magic powers, but not really. Like you have like this thing in your arm, makes you feel like magic powers. So you can like pick people up and throw them against the wall, or you can make like a bubble shield, or you can freeze people in place and then shoot them, or like and with zero gravity, it's cool because like when you freeze them, they start floating in the air, and you can shoot them while they're in the air and stuff. Like it's really cool.
Is that multiplayer or the main game?
It's both. You can be a pure biotic, which is like you don't even like you can just use a pistol and have like super strong biotic powers, which is just literally just like throwing people against the wall and blowing things up with like I don't even know what it's called, biotics, but or you can just be like a tank type thing. You can be a tank. You can have a bit of both. You can be an engineer where you're all about hacking. Like there's just so many different options.
Oh, I love those kinds of games too. I love having just as soon as I open up a game and I level up once, and then I introduce to the skill tree, and I can just get lost in that and upgrade my guy to be the ultimate badass. I think that's one of my favorite parts about these kinds of games.
Yeah, so there's like the classes are adept, which is like a biotic specialist. So that's literally someone that is just has biotics, which is like just has magic powers. Then there's a soldier who's combat, who's more like focused on health and guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then there's an engineer who's a tech specialist. So like they mostly have like if you're a soldier, you have access to all the guns. You have access to like submachine guns, sniper rifles, rocket launchers, assault rifles, etc. If you're an engineer, you get access to like submachine guns and pistols. But then like you hack a lot. There's a thing on your arm. It's not biotics, but there's a thing on your arm called the Omni Blade, which you can use to like hack the robots and like stuff like that. Kind of like with that cyberpunk thing, you know, how you could like hack. It's similar. It's very similar to that. So like the engineer is very, very skilled at that. You have a Vanguard who is like both. So biotic and guns. So you can have all the guns and be biotic at the same time, which is normally the one that I pick. Because it's fun throwing people against the wall. You get Sentinel, which is a tech, like an engineer and adept. So it's like really good at tech, but only they can only use pistols, and they're really good with biotics. And then you get the Infiltrator, who's like an engineer soldier. So it's like they're really good at tech and can hack a lot of things and hack into doors. Because sometimes you'll need that's a thing. Like each party member is skilled at certain things. So like Morden, for example, he's an engineer. So like if you're not an engineer, you would need him in your party to unlock all the doors that need to be unlocked, like hack and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So if you're an engineer, you can hack those doors by yourself. So it's like each party member is skilled at something.
Also, it sort of offers a lot of strategy and thought going into who you choose and where you bring certain people.
Yeah, because like if you don't have an engineer in your class and you're not an engineer, like some chests will be locked and like you won't be able to get it, or some doors will be locked. Like obviously no main mission doors, but like little side quest doors, or like we can get like super loot and stuff like that. Like if you bring an engineer, you can do that. Or if you bring a biotic, if you have two biotics, like they'll like freeze the enemies and like float them in the air while you take them out. Or like it's just like they're really good at like kind of responding what you need. So yeah.
I definitely can't wait to just dive into this and get lost in it for an X amount of hours. I'm sure it'll be a lot of time I spent in this world.
Yeah, but I think I know who your favorite character is going to be, but I'm going to say that for a little later conversation. But actually, I'll just say right now, I think your favorite character is going to be Rex, but I'm going to throw that out there.
Let me just look this person up now. And
it's W-R-E-X.
Oh, he looks fun.
Yeah, so he's a giant tank. So like his ability is he's beefy as hell, and he has a shotgun. So he just runs. Rex. Yeah, Erdnot Rex. Yeah, so he has a lot of health and has a shotgun. That's it, and he just runs in and shoots and kills people.
Well, I am excited to begin my Mass Effect journey.
Same. I'm excited for you. I think I'm more excited for you to experience it than I am to play through it again.
I'm sensing that it will kind of hook me right away, and then I just won't put it down until I finished all three.
Yeah, and I think the strongest part about it is the characters. Like, if I could give you any advice, would just be spend time getting to know your squad mates, because it's like you'll learn a lot about them, and you'll actually like start caring about them. And if they die, oh boy, the waterworks start crying.
Did you have any of those characters when they died that you kind of had to take a little pause from?
Oh yeah, I didn't play the game for 3 days after one character died. I was like, I can't handle this emotional stress. But
I'm both excited and nervous to play this now.
yeah, like there's one choice even right now that I'm sick to my stomach knowing that I have to make. I don't want to make the choice again. But if I don't choose it, I'm the bad guy. So it's like you got to pick and choose, right? So
Quite a decision to make. Character customization, what can I expect with that sort of thing? Because you mentioned playing as Shepard. Do I get to like
yeah, so
adjust how it looks like, or?
you get a customized Shepard, yeah, and it's good now because they fixed that. Whereas like if you didn't play a standard Shepard, he looked like garbage in the original trilogy. Like he looked bad. And now, and obviously in Mass Effect 1 and 2, you can play as Femme Shep, so the female Shepard. You couldn't play as her until Mass Effect 3, which kind of like ruined the illusion a little bit because you go through 1 and 2 as a guy, and then you like jump into number 3 as a girl, and you're like, it continues on the story where it's left off, and you're like, this doesn't make sense. But
Okay.
now you can be a female Shepard from number 1, 2, and 3, which I think is fantastic because
Oh, maybe I'll try that first.
Because Femme Shep is badass. She's so cool. But there's not like much. Like there's different armor pieces you can put on, but there's not much customization in the fact. Like you can customize what your character looks like, but the more customization is in the gun. So you'll get like different guns and like, okay, this gun's more powerful than this. But the armor and stuff, like you'll be able to strip spray paint it and stuff, but there isn't much more than that.
I'm just looking up the enemy types now for Mass Effect. I'm intrigued about the. Oh, that looks terrifying.
What? Which one?
The husk.
Oh yeah, that yeah. Those you'll get introduced to those pretty quick.
That's one thing I love about these sort of games, just the direction the developers take the enemies. I did enjoy Andromeda, so I'm definitely I know that.
Yeah, like Andromeda. Like if you enjoy Andromeda, you'll enjoy 1, 2, 3 much better because like the stories are actually make more sense, and like the enemies actually way cooler than the enemy in Mass Effect Andromeda was garbage.
Yeah, it was rather bland. The story, it was just kind of. Going from
yeah,
planet
like
to planet
the story is way better in this trilogy. Like I said, they all tie in, so it's not like you're going from 1, 2, and 3 and all experience different stories. Like they all eventually tie into one culminating thing. It's like watching a TV. It's like watching, like you said, Star Wars, where they all kind of follow the same story.
Yeah, I think The Last of Us 2 was my favorite kind of game to just sort of play through and experience, like a movie or a TV show. So I think that's kind of why I've been stuck trying to find something else. I want to find a similar game like that I haven't experienced or played through yet.
Yeah, so I think Mass Effect 3 will scratch that itch for you because it's like watching a TV series. It's like okay, like what's next?
Is it split into like chapters throughout the game, or is it just one continuous?
Just one continuous.
Maybe once I finish one, I'll take a few day hiatus, depending on how hooked I am, or I'll just dive right into two immediately.
Yeah, I mean, taking a few days of hiatus isn't a bad thing because you can kind of get reset, but.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of one's pretty good, so I don't know if you'll want to take a break, but I am worried that it will ruin the legacy of the original Mass Effect because I'm worried like the new people that experience it, like if there's a game breaking bug or something. We all know Cyberpunk went in flame for a game breaking bug. You know what I mean?
That was almost immediate that they went under.
But BioWare's reputation has taken a hit lately with Andromeda and then Anthem. So I. Like the new people that have been like the new kind of generation of gamers who haven't experienced BioWare to its full extent are kind of probably gonna be a little weary. So I am worried it's gonna ruin the legacy. But
plus they have the Legendary Edition coming up, the new Mass Effect coming up, plus Dragon Age 4 coming up. So I'm sure their future is not too
exactly.
Worrisome.
And I did hear that Knights of the Old Republic 2 is in production too.
Oh so. God, that would be fantastic. Any Star Wars game from BioWare would be welcomed.
Yeah, I don't know if no one knows what company's making it, and it hasn't been like confirmed or anything like that. It's just been a person well connected, like a listen to some podcast person well connected saying he believes it is a development, but from a mysterious studio, so no one knows who's making it.
That's interesting. I'm getting tired of getting teased by these Star Wars titles or games that are seemingly just randomly
right?
floating.
Like that Ubisoft one's wicked, but I don't know when we'll ever see that.
No, I want Force Unleashed 3. That would be fantastic.
That'd be wicked. Force Unleashed 3 would be awesome.
I love that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Ubisoft's game will be here a lot sooner than we expect because Ubisoft seems like if they can get an Assassin's Creed game from ground up within 2 years, I'm sure they can do it with Star Wars.
They're just cranking out like a game a week, it seems, Ubisoft.
Yeah, so I mean, like I'm sure they'll release, but also be a lot of bugs. So who knows? Recently. The Gearbox Studios, the company behind Borderlands, just got acquired from the Embracer Group, who is the same company that owns THQ Nordic and, I guess, how do you say that, Koch? K-O-C-H Media?
Let's go with that.
Okay. So they're the same company that owns THQ Nordic, which we all know for the beloved SpongeBob Battle Bikini Bottom remaster.
Fantastic remaster, by the way.
Right? So, I mean, we all know Gearbox bread and butter is Borderlands. So how do you feel about this acquisition? Do you think it'll like affect the development of Borderlands at all, or do you think it'll be make them want to create it a bit more?
Well, I think it'll kind of force them to start thinking with the future with Borderlands 3, because they're still adding content to that. They just teased adding more 2 year. I think they called it phase 2 or something like that with Borderlands 3 for the PS5 and Series X. But I definitely think they'll be adding a lot more to 3, especially moving forward, looking to Borderlands 4, because they need to meet certain financial targets over the next 6 years. So, I mean, that gives them loads of time to think, okay, what do we need to do to reach those goals? And Borderlands 4 certainly is one easy way to kind of make a dent in that.
Yeah, I think the world is ready for about a Borderlands 4, but I also personally want to see what else Gearbox can do. Like, I feel like they probably have some wicked ideas in the back burner that they have not executed on yet, and I hope that they show something. Obviously, continue making the Borderlands, and hopefully, get Borderlands successful, and there's no reason why they shouldn't make it. But I like just the Borderlands world and like the idea of Borderlands. Like, I'm curious to see what else they can make.
Well, it's not technically a Gearbox; it's more Telltale. But I would love Tales from the Borderlands too. I think a lot of people are waiting for the next season of that to release, whether it's from Telltale or a new developer. They did include some of the characters from the first season into the Borderlands 3, which I was a big fan of, but I know a lot of the characters in 3, they weren't really received that well compared to Borderlands 2, which is, you know, by far the best one in my opinion anyways.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not much of a Borderlands guy. I like the art style. I like the art style and the characters and just the silliness and randomness of it, but every time I try to sit down and play with Borderlands with some friends, they like to rush through and I just miss all the dialogue. And I feel like that's a huge part of Borderlands is the dialogue.
Yeah, in the same way, that's why I kind of tend to play by myself the first playthrough anyway, and I can just kind of loot what I want to do, talk to who I want to. But my friend made me play Borderlands 2 back when that first came out, and I just absolutely could not care for it. The art style didn't really appeal to me in the gameplay. I just couldn't get into it, and then I think it was nearing the end of the Borderlands 2 life cycle. I decided to give it a shot. Ended up just playing through the entire thing, all the DLC, and I just had a great time. Couldn't wait for Borderlands 3, and I've restarted Borderlands 3 three or four times, and I just can't finish it for whatever reason. I enjoy it. I'm just not sure why I can't make myself. Maybe there's just too much content because there's the full game, and then there's just an abundance of DLC to kind of add along to it.
I like games like that where they don't take themselves seriously, and they have no problem making fun of themselves, which I think is what Borderlands does fantastic. But I never got into the series. Like, I played it with a couple of buddies, but like I said, every time I play with friends, they tend to rush through it and just kill everything they see and loot everything they see and move on to the next place. You kind of miss all like the hidden jokes and funny things and things like that.
I think my favorite mission, it's a small mission. It's quite irrelevant, but it's just one of the funniest missions I've ever experienced in any game. You just come up to a guy screaming at you to shoot him in the face, and he just continues screaming that to you over and over again until you just shoot him in the face. And then as he's dying, he's thanking you for shooting him in the face. And then that's the mission. It's completed and you get XP and then you move on. And it's one of my favorite side missions in any game.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
We definitely need more games like that. Just to like kind of joke around and stuff. And like you mentioned, the prequel or whatever, the Borderlands game from Telltale. I know Telltale is not really a company anymore. Like, I think they're kind of back up and running, but I'm not sure. We need more games like that. Like, I actually really enjoyed that Borderlands game from Telltale, and I think if Borderlands wants to go that way, I think they can. I also think Borderlands is able to make a TV show, a TV series.
Well, I think they're making a movie. Kevin Hart was just announced as one of the main characters for
Borderlands.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's either a movie or a TV show. I'm not sure, but yeah, they just tweeted that Kevin Hart was going to be included in some aspect. I'm not sure if they announced who he was playing, but
Kevin Hart suits that style, but
absolutely, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they kind of mirror the art style of the game or kind of take it in their own path. because that'd be kind of difficult to mirror in a live action version.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it should be like an animated thing. I feel like it should be, but that's just me. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but I guess we'll find out and see.
But yeah, they certainly got a lot of money for it. They got $1.3 billion for the acquisition. They got $363 million, half in cash, half in Embracer shares. It's just definitely exciting. Hopefully nothing changes too much with the company. It's probably just for more, just for a bit more financial gain and kind of hiring more people, adding new projects to the future of Gearbox. So we'll see how it kind of changes.
Yeah, it seems like the theme of 2021 is acquiring studios. Like, you have Microsoft, who's out there throwing money at whatever they can. You have Tencent, who's apparently rumored and acquiring 2K or Take-Two, sorry. You also have like Sony, obviously looking to buy other companies. Now you just got the Embracer Group, who just purchased Gearbox. Like, it just feels like that's pretty much the future, especially with the pandemic. Like, I wonder if companies are more inclined to sell now because they don't have a good financial stability with the pandemic. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not really Borderlands oriented, but every time I see THQ Nordic, it makes me think of the Time Splitters series. I'm not sure if you ever played those back on the GameCube, and I played on the PS2.
I have not, but I've heard of it, and I heard people want it to get remade again.
It's kind of the ones that fly under the radar. It's similar to GoldenEye in that it kind of came out at the same time, and I believe it uses the same engine. And it's just about collecting these gems and time traveling across the world, shooting aliens. And it's similar to Borderlands, where the dialogue is just on par and it's funny every time. And each character is just intriguing. And I've been wanting, there's Time Splitters 2 and Future Perfect. I've been wanting remakes those were one of my first games I ever played. So it's been quite a while that I've been waiting.
Well, I mean, THQ is known for making remasters and remakes right now. So who knows? They might come out and remake Time Splitters and then come out with a new one.
That might be like the most wanted remake I think I want.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. Mass Effect is mine, so I already got my wish.
Yeah, you're already set to go for this year.
Yeah, I'm good to go. That's the only game that came out in 2021. I'd be fine.
I mean, it has more than enough to offer with the amount of content included.
Yeah. Now, would you include that in Game of the Year, or would you be like, nah, it's just like a remaster with updated graphics, or would you say it's come out in 2021, it's eligible?
Have there been any like remakes? Oh, Resident Evil won Game of the Year, didn't it? The remake, Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, I believe so. And then you got Final Fantasy VII remake, who was nominated.
Yeah, so I think you could definitely at least include it in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, it's my Game of the Year already, and I haven't even played it.
It's only February, and you already got a Game of the Year.
That's the end of episode 8. Again, we appreciate all you guys listening, and we're definitely working on getting our podcasts out to more people via Spotify and Google Play and stuff. That's still in the works, but we are working on that. So again, thanks Jesse for a great episode. And where can people find you?
I am at Jesse Benoit on Twitter. We also have the Level 9 Podcast on Twitter, and like you said, soon to be Spotify, maybe Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and YouTube, probably within this month or March.
Yeah, that's definitely the game plan. You can find me on Twitter at AlexLangua5. Like Jesse said, the Level 9 Podcast has a Twitter at Level 9 Podcast, where, you know, we post polls and just interact that way. I also have a YouTube channel. If you want to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Hidden Sacrifice, it's what the YouTube channel is called. I release videos weekly. I do top fives, top tens. I'm sure we'll see Jesse on there eventually with some cameo appearance. But yeah, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support, and stay tuned for our next episode.